from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, good to have you with us. Hour number two on a Misery Motown Monday in the nation's capital and beyond. Again, Jay Gruden coming up. Why don't we get right back to the calls and get as many of you guys in as we can. Where do we want to start here? I think Brandon in Fort Washington is next up and been on hold the longest. What up, Brandon? How are you?
Hey, Rooster. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for making it.
Show every day.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate you.
Big fan.
Thank you.
So I agree with almost everything that you said. I mean, I think that you are speaking absolute gospel about Jaden Daniels. I think that he definitely, you know, I wonder how many of those scrambles were necessary. I think that I saw a couple of plays that, you know, he could have definitely, specifically the one that you pointed out, where there were people open. And so I think that he, you know, he definitely has to do better at letting the plays develop. But I wanted to ask you, and then I'll get off and let you respond.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think of that is us, our wide receivers just not getting open? So he in his mind, he just has to run because there's really not much there.
Well, that's what I can't fairly answer, because I can just tell you from what I saw, from what it, you know, we're corner end zone at Raymond James Stadium. It's not the best look, but you know, at times you get a decent look, and I didn't see a ton of separation except for some of the plays that I mentioned earlier. You know, Terry, obviously, first drive of the third quarter, the two receivers streaming across the middle on the big overthrow of Terry late in the second quarter. Of course, the first play, which we said was a debacle, and I don't want to just keep harping on those three plays, but what I couldn't tell, like, there were, to me, there wasn't, you know, maybe there was one or two, I'm trying to think, there was a play, I think, where Luke McCaffrey was open over the middle, and he could have probably seen that, right? So maybe there was, one or two other plays, in addition to those three plays that I've kind of harped on, that he probably could have done better at. That being said, every quarterback, you know this, Brandon, right? You sound like a very smart guy, because you love this show, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
Every quarterback is going to miss stuff. The question becomes is, I guess the great ones miss maybe three things a game. The good ones miss five. The not-so-good ones miss seven or eight. The bad ones miss 10.
Right.
So where is Jaden going to come in on that scale? And I don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't know yet. But
I was encouraged. I'll just say this. Yeah. I was encouraged. I thought his short, middle, shallow crossing route type game, I thought he was pretty accurate with that. Now, Zach Ertz bailed him out on, I think it was Zach Ertz, bailed him out on one. I might have the receiver wrong. I can't remember. Where it was kind of like at his shoelaces. And the receiver, I think it was Zach Ertz, had to make a really nice snare on a kind of a poor throw. But for the most part, I thought, you know, one of the big criticisms against Jaden was intermediate middle. I thought he did a good job low or shallow middle. So let's see him build on that, you know? So appreciate the phone call.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the good words. Thank you,
Brent.
Right. Appreciate you. Have a good rest of the day. Let's get to Franco in D.C. next up. Franco, how are you?
I'm cooling, man. First of all, I wouldn't even begin to grade Daniels. I mean, this is the first game out, and Lord, if he didn't run, he'd get killed. We don't have nobody to stop anybody. He had to run. See, we see it, but we really don't see it. Them people ain't open. What are you going to do? Wait for him to play the belt? He can't. I mean, it's his first game out. I mean, I looked at the whole NFL. All the quarterbacks had this get the shakes off of them, you know. But overall, I think he did good. My concern is them dudes hanging out on the corner. They just standing on the corner waiting for the light to change. I don't understand.
You're talking about the you're talking about the cornerbacks, right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Them boys is horrible. Come on, man. Didn't they look at Ronnie?
Yeah, all three of them stunk yesterday. I mean, there's just no other way to say it.
Hey, Ruth, look. Didn't they look at Ronnie Bird's tape last year and seen that Forbes is not ready, but yet they threw him out there? I mean, how do you grab a person's face mask and commit another foul? And why, in this Alex Graff is, Russo, tell me, why do all quarterbacks run with their back turned? If they turn around the ball, their ball will fall in the air. I cannot understand the same.
Well, because a lot of times they're beaten in, by the receiver in terms of speed, right? So your back is turned. But the key is to turn your head, one, and play the ball, number one, right? That's what you. But
so
if you can't locate the ball because you don't feel comfortable turning your head around, you think you're going to lose some part of the coverage, you're taught to read the receiver's hands and his eyes. And as he goes up and as he goes to clench, you know, the incoming football, you're supposed to kind of, if you don't turn your head, you're supposed to play through the hands. And none of these guys do that on a consistent basis.
I mean, not only my team, our team, but it just seems not to work, man. I mean, the majority of the time, they either go get a penalty or the man going to catch a touchdown. I don't understand. But anyway, yesterday, man, I think Jaden did wonderful for the things that he did, because if he didn't, he'd be killed back there because they running straight at him. I didn't see him was able to sit back there for 7 seconds at all. Every time.
Well, nobody's going to get 7 seconds, though. I mean, right?
But, you know, I'm just saying, I'm being extreme, but I'm just saying. 4 seconds, 3. He didn't have a chance to do nothing. He can exhale or inhale. That's about it. He had to go.
Yeah. I hear you. I appreciate the phone call. It's a good call. And certainly I understand that Jaden had, again, a lot of that is under pressure. A lot of that is under pressure. But here's the one thing that I opened up the show. What we don't know is the pressure coming because he's not seeing something that's initially there. And that's what I'm trying to get at. Now, there was this. I wanted to pull this up for you guys because I saw this from Nikki Javala. Jaden Daniels faced 5+ rushers, which is defined as a blitz. 47.1% of his dropbacks, which was the second highest rate in week one amongst all of the NFL. Per Next Gen Stats. So again, this isn't somebody charting. This is the Next Gen technology. He was pressured on 38.1% of his dropbacks, which was the 7th highest across the league. His average time to throw, 2.35 seconds, which is generally very good, right? It means you're getting rid of the football quickly, what have you. It was the fastest time in week one. So again, when he didn't take off and run and break the pocket and try and make something with his legs, generally he was getting rid of the football pretty quickly because he was under pressure so much. Again, some of those numbers tell us that until they get better receivers that have better separation, until Jaden gets more comfortable, until Jaden and Cliff figure out a different way of attacking, a lot of variables here. I mean, what do you think the Giants are going to do? The Giants blitzed the second most last year in the NFL. Now, they have a different defensive coordinator. Shane Waldron, I think is his last name. Not Shane Waldron. That's the Bears offensive coordinator. Shane something or other. Walden? I got to look it up. Different than Wink Martindale. So they're not going to blitz as much, but they've added Brian Burns as a edge pass rusher to Dexter Lawrence and to Kayvon Thibodeau. So he's going to have some of the same issues this week, and that's why I've always been worried about this game, even though the Giants' offense is pathetic. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Little next up. What up, Little? How are you?
What's up, Bruce? Shout out to Ice, man.
You got it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, yeah. Shout, Shout out to Ice, man. Look, I was telling Ice, man, off the bat, you come out passing the ball. You're showing other teams in the league, even Tampa Bay, you got a passive demeanor. Man, put three tight ends in there and try to establish the run, Mr. Kingsbury. I ain't see no jet sweeps. I ain't see no draws, no traps. And all that pressure was coming. You ain't calling that one draw play? Come on, man. We got the wrong coordinator, man. You got the wrong man calling plays, man. It's obvious. Anytime you start a game off, lose the pass, and you can't say, look, man, we going in here with an attitude today. You preach it all goddamn summer. I don't care right ass about how pretty you look. Run the damn ball until they stop you. This is what Joe Gibbs would do.
Yeah.
Joe Gibbs would run the ball until Don Brooks, the offensive coordinator, he'd run the ball until they stopped me.
There was one time, I think it was midway through the third quarter, somewhere in that range, where Jaden had 12 carries, and the combination of B-Rob and Eckler had 11.
Look, man, that kid going to be killed by game five, man. Yeah. That kid going to be on IR.
I worry about it. I've been worried sick to death about it.
Man, it's kind of sad, too. The way that I'd rather you bring back Jay Gruden as a coordinator, man. At least you know how to go. At least you know how to get people open. Come on, man. It's sad, man. All that Kingsbury, I've been out of the league. You the same person, Kingsbury. Run the ball, man. Just establish a demeanor.
I understand the frustration, Little. I appreciate the phone call. I understand the frustration. I don't have a good answer for you other than Vita Vea is a monster inside, so maybe they felt like they didn't have the speed and the lateral ability to get outside and not have it. That I don't know until I talk to Cliff, you know, and the media is only going to get a 10-minute crack at him later on this week. It's hard to exactly know. Let's get to Aubrey in Sin City, Las Vegas on the Odyssey app. What's up, Aubrey? How are you?
I'm doing fine, Chris. I'm a big fan, and I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you for listening and calling.
Now, I'm a longtime Burgundy and Gold fan. I don't want to tell you how old I am, but I go back to, way back in the day.
You go back to Sonny or before even Sonny?
My dad used to take me to see Sonny and to see Johnny Unitas at Memorial Stadium, so it's been a long time.
I got
But I'm a big-time fan. When I couldn't have direct TV out here, I'd go to the sports bars and all the rest.
Sure.
And I think you were asking about Jaden Daniels, and I've never called in before. I listen to you often. But I really think that a lot of fans need to take just a moment and chill out a little bit about all this. Think about it a minute. You're a rookie. You're going into a situation where there's a total turnover in roster. Everybody's new. Head coach is new. Coordinators are new. Everyone's new. And you're traveling down to Tampa. Now, think about that a minute. Todd Bowles has been down there for 6 years. He's been 3 years the defensive coordinator, 3 years the head coach. They're loaded with talent. They said last night that he's got the fastest team he's ever had. So Daniel walks into that situation, and let's just give you the bottom line. And I agree with a lot of what you're saying about he shouldn't be running so much and blah, blah, blah. But here's what he did. He went down there, and he was 17 for 24 for 184 yards. He had a total offense of 272 yards, a 93 quarterback rating. And listen, as a rookie, he didn't make a turnover against all that pressure that you just talked about with Nick and Jabala. So I would say overall, he had a pretty good game. Not that he can't improve and all that, but for everything that he faced, I'm really excited about the future for this young guy. I really am. If he doesn't get himself killed, I agree, he shouldn't be running that much. But I'm very bullish after all these years of watching all this stuff, and that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, Aubrey, and listen, I totally agree about the Todd Bowles factor, and certainly I'm sure that had something to do with Cliff kind of keeping, but it's kind of more frustrating that Cliff didn't run the ball more to the edges, do the things that we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
If you're worried about completely just going against Todd Bowles where he could sick you to death, right? So that's number one. Number two, I want to be clear, right? I know I've been a little bit critical, if you will, of a couple of things Jaden missed. I want to be clear. Listen, the dude is a competitor. He is tough as you know what. I love his spirit. Yeah. I love his compete. I want him to be safer. I want him to develop as a passer so that he doesn't have to do what happened as much yesterday. His legs are always going to be a part of his game. We all know that. That's what part of what makes him special. But there is a huge difference between what you do in the SEC against even the worst NFL defenses. So that's where I guess the criticism comes in. It's not a, oh, he sucks, or oh, he's incompetent, or oh, he's not any good. It's a, hey, I want you to get better and develop and go in this area so that you don't have to put your body on the line as many times as he did. So you don't have to take the headshot that he did, so that your helmet doesn't have to pop off on the final drive when the game's meaningless and over, that type of thing. So,
hey, well, here's where I'm bullish, and I know you've got other callers, but here's where I'm very bullish, is you've got a quarterback here who obviously, from everything I've seen, is going to be studying, watching the film, getting better. You've got a coaching staff that's going to gather around him, and they're going to see you're going to see great improvement over the year. I think we've got a franchise quarterback. I haven't been excited in 2.5 decades.
Attaboy.
It's been a long time, brother.
Put that jersey on and wave that flag. Good to hear from you, my friend. Appreciate you. All right. Make sure you call back in. And thanks for listening every day. Sin City, Aubrey, how about that? Like that. 301-230-0980. Maddie, you want to take the break, right? And we'll take the time out, and then we'll get back to more of your calls. I see you all lined up. We'll try and get to as many of you as we can. Just be patient. 301-230-0980. Again, I want to be clear. I am not killing in any way, shape, or form Jaden Daniels. I want him to get better so he doesn't have to take any unnecessary hits. Again, I realize it's a tricky balance. But I want him to get better as a passer. And not and one game is a lot to ask for. I hope next week looks better, because this week he missed some stuff and there was some empty calories. Again, that doesn't mean it was all bad. I pointed out some of the good things that he did. Let's see him take the next step. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right. A couple of things, didn't like, not targeting Terry McLaurin until 3 minutes or so to go before halftime, not a good thing, right? But I guess the positive to that is they're trying to work the underneath game, the middle crossing, shallow cross game, as we've touched on. They hit the little screen for 21 or 22 to Austin Eckler off the play action. They hit Ertz a couple of times over the middle. A couple other little things. McCaffrey. They need to get Terry involved more. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that, period. They need to diversify Terry. Now, it's okay to get him on a quick hitch or a quick slant. You know, one of the catches that Emmanuel Forbes gave up last night or yesterday, was to Chris Godwin, right, on a, where is it here, on my notes, a 14-yard slant at the Washington 40 down to the Washington 26 on the field goal drive that made it 16-7 right before the half. It was a 3rd-and-3. Forbes came across in motion with Godwin, who came in motion. So it was man coverage. And Forbes didn't really get a jam. Inside release, boom. Like, why can't we do more of that? So Terry McLaurin needs to get targeted in other ways than just a couple of deep passes, one late in the second quarter, one first drive of the second quarter. And I understand he had one of the catches on the final drive of the game if you weren't checked out. I got it. More, please. More. And there's going to be a big drumbeat for Terry McLaurin not being in motion. Again, I don't have the answers as to why. I think there was one snap that he was charted as being in motion. One snap. Do you know Cooper Kupp last night of the Los Angeles Rams without Puka Nacua for a lot of the game, and we'll have to monitor that situation. Cooper Kupp, according to Next Gen Stats, again, this is not somebody at PFF charting this. This is Next Gen Stats technology. 42 snaps, 12 touches while in motion or off of motion. So essentially 12 receptions or touches to the football in motion of those 42 snaps. That's the most by any player over the last 7 years. And in motion at the snap, 30 plays out of those 42 snaps. That's six more than any player in the last 7 years. Now, we all know Sean McVay uses a lot of motion, a lot of window dressing. But that's kind of what was disappointing to me. And the only thing I could chalk it up to is maybe you just didn't want to throw so much at Jaden and the offense playing their first full game together. That's it. Because if it's going to be as predictable as just leaving Terry on the left side and not putting him in motion and not putting him in the slot and not moving him all around as a versatile chess piece, it's going to be a lot of what we saw yesterday. Not good. All right, let's get back to you on the phones. Let's get to Alex in Alexandria next up. Alex, how are you?
Hey, Rooster. How are you, man?
Alex, what's going on, buddy?
Another hangover, man. This is tough, man. I've seen these movies like the Groundhog movie, man. You know, I take everything I say back from Friday. I thought we were better coach than that. Yesterday, I'm not impressed with this Kingsbury offense at all. I didn't see any people coming in motion, you know, to maybe put something in their minds of the defense to change their coverage and so nothing. He made it easier for that defense to know where we were going. And on the other end, on the defense, I'm very, very disappointed. They have people running free yesterday. I don't know who number zero is, but he's not good at all.
Mike Sanders, still the rookie, yeah, second-round pick.
He's not very good. I don't even know his number, the guy from that we got from the Panthers play yesterday, because I didn't hear his name called at all. And I was banking that, you know, we were going to be better than that. And on Bobby Wagner, you know, I loved him when he was teaming with Urban in the middle over there in Seattle. They were beasts together. But let's just be honest. The dude is slow. Slow. Yesterday, he didn't even want to stick his head in that. And that's not the same Bobby Wagner that we wanted.
Wagner started off the game strong, and he was poking his nose in there. And then as the game went along, much like the same with John Allen, Daron Payne, maybe even Frankie Louvu, well, there was just too much. Like, I remember he missed a big tackle on one big play that led to the first Evans touchdown. I don't remember exactly how many yards, but it seemed like as the game, and this is why I always keep just preaching and preaching that these guys need to play, because you're asking these guys to play. How many snaps did the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? The Buccaneers ran 61 offensive plays. You're asking these guys to go from 0 to 60 just by practicing. Well, it's different. And then you throw in the heat. Then you throw in the humidity. Then you throw in, quite honestly, a much better offense than what they're facing in practice. I mean, these are all the reasons why I want these guys to play in preseason, but a lot of coaches just disagree, including Dan Quinn.
But this goes for the same team too. I mean, Tampa, they also probably didn't play all the players. I know. I'm with you. I don't know why you're protecting these guys in the preseason and stuff. They ought to be playing at least a quarter in each of the preseason games.
Yeah,
I agree with you on that. I always said that. I don't know why they keep doing that, because yesterday they could have gone on the first play too, because they were so rusty. Like you say, 100 degrees humidity, it's not an easy place to play. So, but I'm just disappointed at the way that the defense played yesterday. I mean, we had so many missed tackles. I mean, this is elementary. They teach you in high school, they teach you in ankle biters, run through your player.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. Thank you, Alex. I gotta jump in because we're starting to run late. I gotta get one more in here before the break. Let's go to Mitch in Jersey. What up, Mitch? Mitch?
Hello? Edge. Oh,
yep.
I'm sorry.
Yep. Go right ahead.
How you doing, Chris?
Okay. How are you?
It was a long trip to Virginia here. Boy, trying to get the bridge, 495-95.
All right.
One.
Just go, Mitch, because we got a lot of calls. So. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you do. I think Jaden McDaniels had the best day of all the rookie quarterbacks. Sorry, JJ. But you want the running guy. I want the running backs having big games, so I guess that's a line. And defense, making Baker Mayfield look like he's a Hall of Famer. I was disappointed with the defense overall, and maybe we were overlooking looking towards the Giants because I think we should feed on the Giants next week. But
well,
then you never know.
I mean, you should not. There should have been nobody on that field yesterday that was looking ahead to the Giants. You're not good enough to be looking ahead to the Giants, you know, or anything. At least the way I see it.
You got like a core. Come on, Lamar Jackson, very similar. Just don't want to run that much. He's going to get hurt. Then we're in a little trouble.
That is true. You
a backup looks like it's better than Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I promise you, anyway. by any measure, and I appreciate the phone call, by any measure, you do not want Jaden Daniels running the ball 16 times. By hook, by crook, by necessity, by design, under any circumstance, you do not want that. Period. So it's incumbent upon them to do things differently than what happened yesterday. And maybe there was, again, a reason, a good reason for it. Again, considering the game circumstances and considering the stage and who they were going against and so on and so forth. Got it. But, like, that's got to change week two. Because guess what? You got some tough-ass defenses coming up. The next five defenses aren't that much easier, if they're easier at all. They aren't that much easier. So, you know, unfortunately, it's going to be time for Cliff to not be conservative and to find something that works because they didn't really find anything that worked yesterday. Unless you consider Jaden scrambling working, and yes, some big plays were made and some big, I got it all. But they need less of that and more big plays through the air if they're going to, A, keep him on the field or have a good chance to keep him on the field, and B, if they're going to take the next step as an offense. Time for a quick trending alert and then more of your calls. Jay Gruden still to come right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so as we told you last hour, according to the South Florida Police Union that represents Miami-Dade police officers, they say Miami Dolphins star receiver Tyreek Hill was uncooperative and was only redirected, not pushed, not shoved to the ground in handcuffs, which everybody saw on video, because he refused orders in which to sit down. So that story continues to develop. Meanwhile, the Carolina Panthers, again, looks like they're going to be without their best defender as Derek Brown, who signed a massive contract recently, is apparently undergoing surgery to repair an apparent meniscus injury. However, it may knock him out for the rest of the year. We will see. From college football, Colorado safety Shiloh Sanders, the son of Deion, the other son of Deion, broke his forearm the other night in a big loss in Lincoln, and he has had surgery, and we will see how long he is out for Colorado, who is in all sorts of trouble after getting just destroyed on the ground on Saturday night, especially in the first half. Again, no known timeline for him right now in terms of making his return. And one more from the NFL we forgot to mention. The Jets and the San Francisco 49ers kick off the Monday night slate. You can hear it right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app beginning at 7:30 for the pregame, 8:15 for the kick against Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. It is the return of Aaron Rodgers, and that's what's trending. Not the Commanders went to war yesterday and came up on the short end of the stick. But it's just, again, one game. I understand you guys being frustrated. I don't understand anybody calling for anybody's job or their career or anything like that. I mean, let's not be stupid. mean, you know, again, they changed over the 70% of the roster and basically the entire organization, front office, coaching staff. I mean, there are some holdovers. You got to give it some time. And not an easy way to start. I kept telling you guys, the first six games of this team's schedule is going to be brutal, and I fully expected them to be maybe 2-4, and you know, I've said 1-5 is more realistic in my mind. Again, don't know. I can't control anything. I'm just telling you the gauntlet that this team opens with, including yesterday. The only thing that surprised me yesterday was Tampa rolling up 37. I thought Tampa would be I thought they would win 24-20. You know, 24-27, somewhere in that range, maybe 30. 37 surprised me. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Paulie. What up, Paulie? How are you, pal?
Hell to the W, Rooster.
Paulie.
Hey. Look, man, a lot of people need to, you know, just drink some cognac and relax, man. You know what I mean? Smoke some G from the shop, kill a pack, and relax, man. Like, listen, you call it Misery Monday? No, this is Mindful Monday. Mindful, man. This is a whole new operation from the rooter to the tutor. You know? There's no cohesion out there. You can see that, man. I'll start with the defense. Y'all want to say the defense, the secondary stunk? They didn't play well. No, I wouldn't even say they didn't play well. They competed. All right, look, St. Juice was battling against one of the most prolific wide receivers over the past 10 years who don't seem to be losing anything, you know? And Davis? What's my man out there for Tampa Bay? You know what I'm talking about, the receiver. You know what I mean?
Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin, and Jalen Mimpin.
No, Mike Evans.
Yep.
Right? You got Sanstrill. He's a rookie.
Yeah.
He got abused like a rookie. But you know what he was doing? He was competing. You know what I mean? Like I said, St. Juice was right there on most of them passes.
He was.
He's going up against a Hall of Famer guy.
Mm-hmm.
And a quarterback is pretty good in his own right. I bet you Cleveland wish they had him back right now. You know what I mean? And then you go to Forbes. Forbes, in all sense of purposes, is a rookie, right? And you can tell on the one thing I did see that I've been hearing, I hear of commentators, Smoot, everybody, you can tell that penalty, that face mask pass interference, that's a lack of confidence. That's because he didn't trust his feet right now. Because you trust your feet, I don't care what that receiver's doing, you turn and run. His best attribute is supposed to be his speed. And if you're a speed guy and you don't trust your feet, That's a bigger problem than it. Your mental is a bigger problem than physical. And right now, that's a mental thing with him. So that's a demon he's gonna have to work out for himself. You know what I mean? But they competed, man. And if the drunken idiot kicker, as Peyton Manning would say, if he would
idiot kicker? Do you remember?
Vanderjagt.
Atta boy, right? Paulie. So, atta boy. Mike Vanderjagt.
If he makes those two field goals, right, those 6 points, we're in striking distance most of that game. And football is a lot about confidence. And those two kicks, the kick out of bounds, those are just like turnovers, man. And it can let the air out of the balloon.
Yeah.
Especially when you know that you're working hard for everything.
Well,
because nothing's gonna come easy for them right now. Because they're still trying to figure everything out.
Listen, the defense deserves, to your point, the defense deserves a lot of problem. Yeah, but if you look at it, Paulie, right? I went back and charted this when I got to the airport overnight. Cade York, like his two missed field goals and the kickoff out of bounds, which gave the Buccaneers the ball at the 40 right before the half, cost them 17 points. Led directly to 17 points. So they weren't turnovers, but terrible field position, right? So it's either you got to get a better place kicker, which we know they've been through a bunch, or he's got to get better, or they've got to do something differently, maybe going for it more on fourth down, even in non-traditional spots, because they can't keep giving the ball to the opponent at the 38-yard line or the 37-yard line and putting this defense in a compromising position.
Listen, understood. Two more things I want to get to. The next one, the offense. Same thing with the offense, man. No cohesion. You know, three people showed up on offense, Daniels, Eckler, and Robinson. So Cliff needs to know that's where he needs to lean at. The strength of this team is the running backs on offense. You need to lean on that. Even early on, the offensive line, they're going to have to play together a little bit more to get some cohesion. Because it was pressure early in that game, and clearly Daniels was feeling the pressure. Because I felt like it got to a point where he wanted to run before he wanted to throw because of the early pressure he was feeling early on. You know what I mean? And then the last thing, tied into the special teams, I love Austin Eckler. He's not a returner. So they got to have to get that figured out. But like I said, man, for me, it's Mindful Monday, man. This is the first game of a whole new outfit, man, from the rooter to the tutor, man. We'll be right. Give us, like you said, 6, 7, 8 games, then you can start judging things. They ain't making adjustments, or you see people not improving and not getting better, showing improved. Then that's when you start saying, okay, well, maybe we need to make a philosophy change here or a lineup change there.
No,
you know
what
I mean?
But
right now, man, everybody, you know, the Jets play tonight with Aaron Rodgers. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. L to the W, man.
Thank you, Paulie. Good to hear from you as always. Let's grab one more here. Let's go to EJ in D.C. next up on the Team 980. EJ, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks,
guys,
for making it.
And Paulie said it all, man. We played one game. We got a new staff. We got a new coach. We got about 65% new players. And people are going crazy like they thought we was going to win. We played a playoff team yesterday, and they competed. They did what they did. But at the same time, when you are losing, you traded away a first-round pick, right? We got another first-round pick, the cornerback, that's not going to be there. We had another first-round pick, Jamin Davis, that they're trying him at a new position. If it don't work, he'll be gone. Mm-hmm. If you keep doing bad in the draft, where did they think we were going to get the talent from to compete with a team like Tampa Bay? I mean, everybody, we got a new staff, new everything. Y'all talking about the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, and you seen one game, and half of the guys didn't play in the preseason.
Right.
So just sit back, man, and give the people time. This is not Madden.
I totally agree with you, EJ. Here's the only problem, right? I agree largely with your premise on everything. Here's the only problem. I can't do a radio show and say, give it 8 weeks and then offer no other information or context. You know, I've got to say, well, yes, let's not fire anybody. Let's give it some time, 6, 7, 8 weeks, whatever it might be. But here's some things that went wrong. Here's some things they could improve on. Maybe some different ideas. Maybe some different things. You know, so that's what we.
I'm calling in with they bank.
Right.
They go,
well,
I have a friend, Rooster. He bet that we win the division. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Stop well, thinking. But again, that part of that is being mind. Part of that is being a fan. Part of that is looking for big, you know, big odds, juicy odds that you can potentially turn around, right? And some of it again. I mean, Linnell. You know, my partner on Wednesday and Thursday. Like, originally thought this team could win 10-plus games, and there was no indication of that yesterday.
He think with his heart, Rooster. I'm going to sit back and listen.
Right.
But everybody, pump your brakes, sit back.
I agree.
And see what happens during this season, man.
I agree.
Give us a chance.
I agree. Let's all have a step drink together, huh?
Let's all
do that. Thank you.
Going late back.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you. Good to hear from you. All right, Jay Gruden coming up. And as well, Sean in Connecticut will take the time out here. We'll reset, and then we'll come on back, finish up the hour strong. Jay Gruden still to come on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, yeah, baby. It is a misery Motown Monday in the nation's capital and beyond via the Odyssey app. This from our pal Ben Conti, a.k.a. Fat Poet 10, at Fat Poet 10, or a.k.a. the Seafood Salad Smuggler, which is just a great, great little inside bit. If you don't know what that's about, go and check out last week's show. And
have you checked out the fridge? Is it still there?
It is still there.
So he didn't grab it?
No, of course not.
But
and he berated me upside the head earlier today, and apparently we're going to argue about it on JP and B Mitch's show tomorrow.
But you left it for him.
Of course I did. I didn't touch. I didn't eat it.
So why is he complaining?
Because he's a pain in the ass.
Well, there you
just
go.
Just like a lot of other pain in the asses around here. Just being honest. But Ben Conti says, I think you guys owe Aubrey in Vegas a Ric Flair woo. I think he said it was his first time calling. And you know what? He's right.
Woo! 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 Woo!
He just got four of them, baby. How about that? Hopefully Aubrey in Vegas heard that. Because he was good, A, number one, and B, as the seafood salad smuggler points out, you know, that's our bit, right? I mean, first-time caller, you say something we really, you know, we think is really sharp, you get a little Ric Flair woo. So let's get to our buddy Sean in Connecticut here before Jay Gruden joins us at 3. What's up, Sean? How are you?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
Good, Sean. What's going on, pal?
Not too much. Just wanted to call and give my thoughts. I'm kind of mixed bag. Like, I do agree there's a lot of turnover. We have to give them some time. But also at the same time, it's easier to say that now and then not let myself get frustrated during the game. So that's because it's like I know they're bad, but I still want them to play good. And I'm still going to get mad when especially former first-round picks don't do anything good. Number two, I did think that the offensive line played all right. I do think Jaden's athleticism kind of masked that a little bit, though. I will say you did make a point about how many I am worried about his health. I don't like the design QB runs, but I do think besides at the end there, I didn't love him getting his helmet hit off for the second. Like, I do think he took a couple unnecessary hits, but I also think he did do a pretty good job at staying out of harm's way as much as he could, but you're right, it does need to get better. I also wanted to shout you out because I think it was on Friday I brought up how you made a good point that we're going to lose a game or two or three at this rate, maybe four from kicking. So I just shout, that was a great point.
Well, thank you. Unfortunately, I can't take a whole ton of credit because, I mean, Cade York, that's his history. Like, I don't think Cade York is going to be here this Sunday against the Giants. I'd be surprised by that, right? Because, it's not only the two missed field, like the one 56-yarder, okay, anybody could miss that. I mean, to me, that was kind of a poor decision by Dan Quinn because even though it was 4th and 10 from the from the Buccaneers 38, to me, that's either you go for it with Jaden and hope that he makes a play, either with his arm or his legs, or you punt it. Because I'm not asking Cade York, a guy who has zero level of consistency so far in his NFL career. He's got the leg, but zero level of consistency to make that, number one. Number two, if he misses it, which he ultimately did, you realize that you're giving up the football at the 46-yard line of the Bucs, meaning 4 yards away from midfield and a very short field against a gas defense later on in the game and a not good defense. So why even risk that? Like, either punt it away, do something, go for it, and at least get some of those yards. And maybe you come up a yard short, maybe you get it. Maybe something else happens. I don't know. But to me, there's a greater risk in doing what they did. I didn't love the way Dan... Honestly, between the two-point conversion and that decision, I didn't have a problem with the 47-yard field goal. But those two decisions and a couple of weird timeouts as well, that's another lost subplot of this on offense and defense. I didn't love how Dan managed this game, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, no, that was going to be my last point. I just thought there was a lot of just sloppiness on both sides of the ball, and then just a couple, like, managerial, like, kind of things that you should get right. I think the kicking the kickoff out of bounds is just, I think that perfectly encapsulates the Washington kicking situation for, like, mainly my entire life. So I'm so sick and tired of bad kickers. I hope they can figure that out. But I do think I was kind of disappointed in a couple of decisions, not calling a timeout there late in the first half to get like a minute left, get the ball back with a minute left. Just a couple of things. I mean, it's his first game back and being the head guy in a while. So I'll give him like Paulie made some great points. He like, we need to give him some time, but I also feel like at the same time, it's okay to want better and it's okay to, I definitely need a, like you guys are talking about having a drink. I definitely should have had a drink during the game, but I'll make that. I think I'll be at the game next week, but I just want to, one quick last thing. I just wanted to shout out, Ben Standick. He had a tweet earlier. He retweeted the stat that Daniel Jones has thrown more pick sixes than touchdowns since he signed his contract. And Ben said, yet Jones will somehow pass for three touchdowns and run for another two.
Well,
Sunday
because as you know, I think that was the game we first met up last year. I mean, you know what? I don't think Daniel Jones was already out. But through the years, Daniel Jones has been inconsistent at best against everyone and great against the Redskins, Commanders, Washington football team, no matter what the circumstances are.
Yeah, no, it's I don't care if we go. I mean, I'm going to be upset, but if we go 14 or 15 now, as long as we beat the Giants twice and maybe the Eagles or Cowboys once, I just want to beat the Giants so badly. But thanks, Chris. Have a good one.
All right, Sean. Thank you. Appreciate it. As always, good to hear from you. Jay Gruden coming up next. The former Redskins head coach joins us for, I think this is year three, maybe year four. Can't remember. Each and every Monday. And we get his expert analysis. What did he see out of Jaden Daniels and more? And how would he have handled some of those situations we were just talking about? That is next right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.